You can curse.
I choose not to. But having the option, you know, it's nice. It's something. Well, let's fucking do this. Welcome to June 29th. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 29th, 2019.
You didn't say hello and welcome.
Hello? Oh my
what,
God.
What did Jeff Green say?
What did he say, AJ?
Well, he always said hello and welcome to Games for Windows.
Did he?
That's where that comes from.
I like Games for Windows podcast. I was more of a one-up guy myself.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody else remembers these shows anymore.
GFW Radio, that set the mold for a lot of podcasts.
It's weird to me now how ancient those podcasts are.
Right? Like, in your head, you're like, oh, not long ago. It's like, that was 12 years ago, at least.
2006,
yeah.
When I was listening. Anyways, this is us. We're still here.
we're still here coming up on 12 years.
Yeah, we're still here, damn it. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not bad.
Yeah, not
it's
bad.
It's been a week, man, let me tell you. I'm glad it's Friday.
See, my week is this is slow times are starting for me finally.
Yeah, you had your crunch.
Not that, like, you know, nothing's happening, but it's not crazy.
Oh, I've been doing all new commercials at work, and as you can imagine, it's like, yeah, these are done, and everyone's like, well, let's change this and do this, yeah, and add this. It's like, fuck.
It's always something. But so we're gonna just talk about a bit of what we've been up to. Summer Games Done Quick has been going on. You've been watching much?
Here and there. I usually would have watched more in the background at work, but I really didn't have as much time to do as I would have liked.
I watched a ton.
I'm sure you did.
Classic Mega Man block happened today before we recorded.
Mighty fine.
There's a great Mega Man 11 race. Mega Man 3 run was really well done, and that's my favorite game, so that made me happy.
Cool.
Sorts of good stuff.
I was telling you earlier, June, I don't know the date, but it was June of 1989 when Mega Man 2 came out.
But when Mega Man got good.
30 years of good Mega Man.
Everyone's, you know, it's like if there was only one Mega Man game and it was called, you know, if Mega Man was it, we would probably consider it a bigger classic. I always like making that point about Mega Man 4. If there's only one Mega Man game, it was Mega Man 4, but it was just called Mega Man.
Yeah.
That would be like an all-time classic. But right, as it is, we compare it to like the better Mega Man game, so it's like, well, we don't want to bother.
Right.
But aside from that, I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft. Yeah,
8.2, Rise of Ashara.
She rose.
I'm like, pronounce the name of the new land where the Naga
are.
Oh, you got it. Some people are, it's the Worcestershire sauce of video games.
Really?
Yeah.
The Naga have been saying for Najatar forever.
Well, sure, but you know, I think it screws people up more when they see it written.
Nah, yeah,
because it's like, it's
what is a Z
like
and a J doing next to each other?
I don't know that sound.
It's a really big update. So this is just the 8.2 patch for the game. Adds two new zones, a bunch of new systems. It's this new kind of necklace essence thing that gives you like active abilities.
Look at that, new buttons on my spell
new
bar.
New buttons, yeah. It's like, so like the way this thing works is you've had that that necklace, the Heart of Azeroth.
Uh-huh. That no one liked.
Yeah. And like the whole thing about that was supposed to be the Azerite armor, which was bad. Here now, like, you get like a spell and you have like three slots, one active and two passive ones, and you kind of unlock the passive ones later. But you get one when you start, and it's just kind of like a very basic push this button to do damage to a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can get a lot more of them through all the different activities in the game, through questing, through doing dungeons, PvP, raids. And it'll be more, like, but just all sorts of different effects. Like, one will increase your energy regeneration. One will, you know, add a bubble to someone.
And what's interesting is they are role specific, not class or spec specific.
Yes.
So like,
which I think
there's
kind of neat.
Tank damage and healing spells. So it's not like, you know, every class got new abilities, but
it's a bit of a band-aid.
Yeah, I think it works pretty well. They also do a cool thing where there's three ranks of each ability, and then a fourth rank, which is no more powerful than rank 3, but it's a lot flashier.
Yeah, big cosmetic upgrade, which is neat. It's like, again, it's cool stuff to unlock.
Right.
Like, I think that's what they're trying to do with the Azerite armor, like the idea that you can, like, a drop could be an ability and that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could lose that ability later, it wasn't exciting.
Yeah.
Like, here, once you have one of these things, as long as you're in a rest area, you can swap them in and out.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So then Najatar's, like, the big main area. And it's just, it's like an underwater zone where the water was parted, so you're kind of surrounded by a sea of water. Mm-hmm. Really cool looking.
Yeah, it's one of those zones that plays really well with the kind of increased view distance we got in Legion, because you always can see the edge.
Right. And, like, yeah, so there's a lot of these corally areas, a lot of some night elf ruins, or elf ruins, I guess. Very, very pretty. One of the prettiest looking zones I've seen. When you first get there, it's really neat, because it's kind of, like, cinematic. Yeah. Like, you see a ship falling in the distance, and, like, you're about to go over a waterfall, and, like, the one guy catches you. Like,
Oculus. I love that guy.
Yeah. The war campaign is also continuing, which is just comical. Like,
I haven't gotten to it yet, so no spoilers, please.
Yeah,
but I've been trying to avoid them.
Yeah, all right.
I love how, like, I like WoWhead, but they always do this thing where they're like, they'll put like a video on YouTube and they put like spoiler in the title, but the thumbnail that you can't not see is a spoiler. Yeah. It's like, well, come on, guys.
So the basic questing in Nazjatar, it's kind of still a lot of doing world quests. Mm-hmm. There's some interesting, like, hidden things, and like, you have this follower system where you get pick one of these people to follow you around, and they can kind of level up based on the quest you do. The kind of neat thing is that most everything gives you this resource, an ancient mana pearl, and you can use that to unlock, like, a mount or whatnot, but the big thing is this new kind of gear called Bantha gear that starts at this one power level, and you can just spend this resource to make them stronger, mm-hmm. to the point where it's, like, equivalent to almost some of the best gear you can get from raiding. So it's a pretty, it's kind of a neat alternative gearing system for people who maybe don't want to do the raid.
Yeah.
So I think that's neat, because it's something you do every day and get a straight up, like, mm-hmm. noticeable.
And what I like about this zone, and we'll talk about this with Mechagon too, especially you compare this to things like, Like all the patches for Legion,
Argus.
They were very linear story. Do these quests, go through the motions? Like,
yeah.
Like, I liked all the stuff in what's the Nightborne city called?
Suramar is cool.
Like, I liked the story, but it just felt kind of slow. If you know what I mean, it was sure. Like, oh, let's just get through this. I like how this is. This almost gets back to what I liked about WoW Classic that I've talked about. It has much more of that feel of. Go do some adventures in this zone.
It's not as quest line driven, which I think
is
nice.
There's quests, but yeah, it's not like a linear progression.
There's a few of that, but not nearly.
Right, there's enough just to tell the story they want to tell, but it's a lot of like dailies
mm-hmm.
that seem to mix up every day. There's different ones available.
And even though they're world questy, kind of like the world quest system we've had since Legion, but it's like not as focused. It's not like do four of them a day and then get your cash like they've been. It's mm-hmm. more do them because you're going to get rep or you're going to get these mana pearls and whatnot.
I've really enjoyed playing it with war mode on.
Yeah, the PvP in Nazjatar has actually been really cool.
Yeah, because it's a fairly compact zone. Like, it's big, but it's tight, it's if that huge, makes sense. Yeah. So you kind of naturally fall into a group of, like, other Horde players.
And every once in a while, it'll activate this event where their control points show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, whoever wins this will get the special, like, PvP token thing, too, there. I think you maybe even get some mana pearls.
Yeah.
You kind of start just fighting for the thing. But just because of this, there's so much PvP going on, and I've been, like, killing people who have, like, that, like, the token, where if you kill them, you get a bunch of materials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really fun for, like, kind of organic PvP.
Yeah, it's very well done.
Then the other new zone, probably the better of the two, actually.
Yeah, Mechagon. Truth be told.
Mechagon is really cool. It's even smaller than Nazjatar. Its whole theme is kind of junker, like robots, stuff like that.
Mike.
Yeah.
Do you think Mechagnomes will be an allied race?
Yes, they will be an allied race. Absolutely.
But who could be the equivalent for the Horde that would be in similar size and stature?
Be Volpira.
What?
Yeah, it'll be Volpira. Although it's funny because, like, in Nazjatar, you're questing with these, like, aquatic goblins. It's, like, not a giant stretch to imagine them as an allied race, too.
Mm-hmm.
But all the data mining suggests it's going to be Volpira and Mechagnomes, which I'm fine with. I think
it's pretty good.
Yeah. Mechagnomes seems a little less sexy because they kind of are just gnomes with some robot parts.
Which are going to get covered up with armor anyway.
But this zone is doing a lot of neat things where there's a lot of, like as you're doing everything, you're getting all these, like, parts and stuff, and there's a whole crafting system of making items, making even amounts, and customizing it. You have this trinket that you kind of customize by putting in different key cards in it. And these drop from everywhere. Again, it's like you're doing world quests and stuff, but it feels a lot different because a lot of the goal is getting these spare parts and building things.
Well, and once again, Mechagon is very unique looking compared to the rest of World.
Yeah.
It's got that, you know, that kind of junked mechanical look to
it. It's like slightly Mad Max,
but by way of steampunk.
Yeah, it's really neat looking, and there's a lot more like chests hidden around, and they actually have good stuff in them. Yeah,
it was also nice. So like, there's these every day. There's like a different public works project you can build around the map. I've only done it the one day so far, but on that first day was a little table that gave you a jetpack.
Yeah,
essentially giving you flying in the zone.
Yeah.
So I like explored it. So I have that achievement done. I like found all the chests. And that was pretty nice.
It's a zone that if you actually just want to go explore around, you actually find like useful.
Yeah. Things. Again, it's very open feeling. There's only one flight point on the island that's basically there for you to fly to it from Kul Tiras.
Right.
Because that's how you get there.
It's kind of funny to like, oh, he found the lost city of Mechanoid.
It was right over there the whole time.
It was right next to the most major seafaring nation in the world.
Yeah, they just never sailed over there.
Yeah, it's like, okay. But what?
Cool.
Suspension
cool.
of disbelief and all that. But it's a really neat zone. I like both these zones quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do wonder, like, so far it seems like there's so much to do just getting rep up and getting all these resources, getting those mounts, getting the better gear. And then by the time you're kind of a little quiet down that I think the new raid and the mega dungeon are coming out in a couple weeks.
Looking very forward to the mega dungeon.
Right. But as far as just like an update goes, pretty good.
You've been playing as your Horde character.
Yeah.
Why is Gazlo not in charge of the goblins?
I don't know. It was a big question from the very beginning, because the whole starting area for the goblins is Gallywix being the biggest jerk ever, trying to sell everyone into slavery.
And you should essentially be the head of the goblins.
And then you stop him. And then Thrall's like, all right, Gallywix, you can be in charge for now. I'm like, why?
Yeah, he sucks.
I think we should kill him?
Or at least imprison him forever? Yeah, Gazlo's like trying to legit be like, pay these people, they're worth it, and these people dead, I'm really sad about it.
Nice.
Actually, you know, pay their life insurance to their next
No kid. Haggling.
No haggling. I'm like, aw, Gazlo's so nice.
Now, Gazlo's always been my favorite. I thought he was, because in vanilla, he was more of a neutral character, right? Well, he first showed up in Frozen Throne.
Did he?
He was the guy you would turn quests in to help build Orgrimmar. He was the architect of Orgrimmar.
Yeah, yeah, because remember, there was a whole thing in Draenor where he talked about, Orgrimmar, my finest work, the impenetrable city. And
yeah, he built Orgrimmar.
And then what's his name?
What, Rexxar?
Khadgar okay. is like, wasn't it recently sacked? All right, yeah, fine, one little sack.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like Gazlo. More Gazlo, please. Well, the problem is, so the goblins you are specifically that one cartel. The
Steamwheel cartel,
No, that's the other
or
one.
Is that the bad one?
The Bilgewater.
Bilgewater, yes.
Cartel. And no, Steamwheel's good. It's, I think the venture company's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a cartel, but there's a lot of goblins there.
Yeah, we don't like them.
But I don't think, Gazlo's not necessarily in the Bilgewater. What is it?
I see, yeah. Bilgewater. Yeah. Okay.
So that's why he can't be the leader of the gnomes, if you have it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess you don't want me to talk about that. The story stuff's bad. But, cool patch otherwise. Besides that, it's weird because I was playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14, and now I took a break from that.
Well, that patch came out today, and apparently they're getting DDoS'd.
Yeah.
So, hopefully tomorrow, I have my game card. You know, I got my black chocobo mount from Amazon, so I'm very pumped to jump back in. I was kind of looking at some of the changes. This is one of those cool patches where even if you're not getting the expansion, there's a lot in it for you.
Just like some of the quality of life changes to
all the classes got pretty big change. Now, hey, funny enough, the Black Mage, your bread and butter, probably saw the least changes. Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's good.
It sounds like tanks saw a lot of streamlining. Stance dancing is kind of gone, okay. Which is funny because that's like what also happened in WoW.
Yeah.
Like stance dancing went away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just curious.
And the one class all that pretty much changed.
The mechanist?
Mechanist, yeah. Machinist or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they got completely overhauled.
So I also want to try that now. Well, it's like, so you have to, like, do all the story missions unless you want to do a boost, and I don't because the story's really fun.
That's why you play the game.
Well, it's funny because, like, I'm critical of World of Warcraft story because it's trying to make you the star, but you never are. It's like you just walk around to the major characters and see what they do next. In Final Fantasy 14, you are the star, and there are like these characters, but like you're in every cutscene.
They're supporting you,
right? Like you're the major player, so even though you're not a talking character, so it's done much better.
It's a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, I'm
straight
only
up.
So I'm in the middle of the Heaven's Ward expansion now, which is the first expansion. Mm-hmm. So I still have a ways to go, but it's been super fun and well done, and like actually like these characters are interesting. Big things happen. Like at the end of the kind of storyline content for, not like the Realm Reborn the original,
pre-patch for Heaven's
like
Sword.
The patches, yeah. Like some stuff goes down. There's almost like a 30-minute block of cutscenes at one point. It's
not
like, whoa.
Bad, not bad.
Yeah. It was funny though, because there was a point where right after the last one of those quests and the first Heaven's Sword quest, all the voice actors changed. It, like, I didn't know. And I was like, first I was like, what the?
What?
It's funny, that stuff used to bother me, and now I'm going to point like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, you're older now, you're over
but
it.
But when I'm MMOs, I get it. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's contracts, some people can't come in anymore. Fine. But, yeah, man, it's been super fun. Mm-hmm. So, I'm still, I think after a bit more of this exploring 8.2, and I don't know how much raiding I'm going to do or anything in that, we'll see. But I don't know. Aside from that, what have you been up to?
I'm on that auto chess train, Mike.
Oh, no.
I've been playing Dota Underlords.
I still haven't played a second of an auto chess
game. So I haven't played the original mod, and I probably never will.
No, sure. At this point.
And then League of Legends version just launched yesterday, actually. I haven't had a chance to try it out.
What it's called Teamfight Tactics?
Yes. From what I understand, their version's a lot faster.
Yeah, it's like
the problem
their
is,
version of Dota.
Yeah, so my issue, I guess, is... Dota is essentially... It's so funny to me that there wasn't a lawsuit over this. Dota is Warcraft. Like, there's a big orc with an axe. Oh, that's Thrall. There's a guy called the Anti-Mage who has the Demon Hunter passive who has twin glaives. Who should that be, I wonder? Like, come on. But at least I have a basis for what's going on. I kind of know what these characters are going to do.
Yeah.
I feel like if I went to League, I'd be like, who's this guy? What's he about? I have no idea. So... The tutorial for this was shit. It basically, it's like, it would be like if the tutorial for Portal 2 was like the space bars jump. Have fun. Yeah. Like, okay.
That'll get you started.
I mean, a match can take anywhere from, all depending, 30 to 60 minutes. By the end of my first match, I was like, I see what they're doing here. So the basic conceit is as you're drafting your army, spending the gold that you've earned throughout the game, You're trying to accomplish two different goals. First of all, you want to upgrade units. So everything's 1, 2, or 3 stars. 3 1-star units become a 2-star. 3 2-stars become a 3-star. So you kind of want to keep buying the same thing so you're upgrading. Concurrent to that, every unit typically falls into two families. So, tanks, bruisers, assassins, that kind of thing. As you get more unique units of each family, you unlock bonuses associated with that family. So if you have 2 tanks, they just get more armor. That kind of thing.
Is this like going to turn to like an RTS game where it's like all about build orders and stuff?
So here's the thing though, because the store is randomized. So that's the strategy is you have to think, okay, what do I have? How much gold do I have? Because then there's this whole thing where it calculates based on the amount of gold you have at the start of combat, how much interest you gain. But then you can keep buying stuff during combat because combat's fully automated. So you'll be like, okay, well, I want to buy this upgrade, but it's not going to have an immediate benefit. So let me start combat so I get the interest for my current balance of gold. Buy this guy to upgrade for the next round. Like, it gets into the weeds. But the thing that Valve did, and like, this, I don't understand this company. They released Artifact that they like apparently worked on for like 10 years. Without a mobile version for a digital card game, and it like fucking tanks, and they're like, oh, I wonder what happened. Then like this game, they like made it in a month apparently, and it launches with a mobile and iPad version with crossplay and cross save if you're playing bot matches. So
it's strange.
Part of why I'm able to play this so much is because I can play it on my phone because it's turn based, and if I need to stop, I just stop, you know?
Right.
So that's great about it. That whole aspect of it works perfectly. So. Again, I don't know why Valve is the way they are.
I hate so much about
things you choose to be. it just makes me wish Blizzard would make one of these, because that'd probably be the one I'd like, but it'll come out a year from now, be too late, and tank after a year.
Blizzard's maybe a little burnt on trying to chase those trends when they're little Johnny-come-lately, like with Hot
Snow. Well, that's the thing. There's a whole discussion about this on The Instance that I don't mean to rehash if you happen to listen to that show. But my opinion, they take too long because they're not agile enough. Like if Valve can move, now granted they had a little bit of, I guess, a head start because it was a mod to one of their games, but like there was no reason Dota 2 shouldn't have been a Blizzard product, you know?
Like, yeah, that is kind of weird how that didn't
they like
happen.
Just let that get away. And by the time they did do Heroes of the Storm, I mean, of any MOBA, that's my preferred MOBA. but it just never got the market share because they were third to market. Well, even more than third, but I mean, after Heroes of New Earth and everything else. It's like,
a lot of things.
Like, why did that take them so long? And I know that's like, the counter goes like, well, that's what makes Blizzard Blizzard. They polish until it's ready. Yeah, but sometimes you need to get something out.
You remember when that was supposed to be like a mod for StarCraft 2?
MOBA? That's right. So, yeah, weird. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool that like, it's like, you always think like you before MOBAs, like, what's like another genre going to be? And then MOBAs happen, like, oh, okay, well, now what could be another genre?
Well, yeah, it's curious. Yeah, it's just interesting. What's weird, because MOBA came from RTS, now from that comes this.
Right.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, like, what's next? Mm-hmm. How do you distill this down even further? But yeah, it's super fun. They're all free. Point. It's worth checking out.
What the hell? I've been playing Castlevania 3.
Kicking it old school?
Because, you know, the Castlevania collection's on Switch. So that I would just be playing it in bed or playing it while like a speed run was happening during Summer Games and Quick. That wasn't that into, but I'm trying very hard to beat it without using save states.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard game. I think I'm on like level 5 or 6 now of like 9. And man, it's so rough, especially when you kind of it's hard because you get to a boss and the boss is so hard. You're like, what am I supposed to do? And then you die before you get figured out. Then you're on the back. You're out of lives, so you're back at the beginning of the level and you're doing that stuff again. Plus, Castlevania is so like, you know, you have lives, but a lot of times you die and you lose that one upgrade you really actually wanted and now you can't get it anymore.
It's like, Mike, what are you trying to prove?
No, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to do things that are hard. And I, you know, I want to be cool.
That's what she said.
Not your best work. I'll allow it though. But
thank you.
I want to beat it like that. I want to beat it legit. Although now I downloaded Mario Maker 2. I haven't started yet though, so that might take my attention away. Because you started playing it, so.
Well, let me say, Mike. So I mean, there's a big Switch release this week, of course. Mm-hmm. And I played earlier iterations of this on home consoles, and
this is a joke where it's gonna not be the thing I'm expecting.
And Mike, Virtua Racing, man. Let me tell you.
Jesus.
I'll come back to it. Let's talk Mario Maker 2. I've started story mode. I've played like 10 levels so far, and this might be my favorite 2D
Mario. That sounds ever bogged. Jeff didn't like story mode, Jeff Grubb.
Jeff Grubb's a weirdo.
Jeff listens. You should need to apologize.
Jeff Grubb's a weirdo. I love you, Jeff.
No, Jeff's... I'll tell you what his complaint was. He says that every level is so focused on one mechanic that there never seems to be like... an accumulation of learned skills. It seems like every level is just focusing on the one thing.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that, but at the same time, I see story mode as kind of like the, like, look what this game can do.
Well, yeah, I think he knows. Like, he acknowledges that.
And again, it's so funny to think, because, like, this is Mario Maker 2, and, like, 95% of Switch owners never played the first one because they didn't have a Wii U, so this is essentially brand new to them.
I mean, this is very much a Super Splatoon 2-ish.
Yeah.
Like, there's been two ways that they've been doing the kind of we had good games on Wii U that no one played.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe route.
There's Deluxes, like with Mario Kart 8 and...
the better sequel.
And the 2D Mario game, and then there's just sequels. Yeah, Splatoon 2 and this.
So, just what I like about it is... I don't know, like, what lets them do this? I guess just because of the fact that they're... The whole hook of it is, you know, these were built using the same tools you have access to. This does stuff that Mario games just wouldn't do because they'd be too far afield.
Mm-hmm.
But in this context, they make sense because so much of Mario Maker is like twisting the rules to do something unique, taking these familiar elements from Mario games and just turning them on their head just so. Said like it does something wacky you've never seen before.
Are you messed with creation much at all?
I haven't touched it yet. I'll get to that tomorrow probably. I just wanted to play some story.
That's what I would do. Is just jump in there.
But it's super polished and it's 2D Mario. Like what do you know? That's pretty good. What surprised me when they show the game, they kept showing the 3D world aesthetic and like how it's incompatible with all the other modes and blah blah. And I was like, what? It looks just like 3D, like New Super Mario Brothers. Like I don't get it. When you play it, it feels a lot different.
Interesting.
Visually, the it's an odd thing, but what's noticeable is the levels, even though they're still 2D, they feel more like a 2D plane in a 3D world. Whereas New Super Mario Brothers still feels flat, if that makes sense. Like, you don't see the side of the question mark block when it's on the edge of the screen.
I see what you mean.
But in 3D world, you do.
Does like it play that song I like?
Yes.
Oh, I like that song. I like that song, Asgard.
And what I didn't realize is, you know, obviously Catsuit Mario is a thing. But even just when you're regular Mario, the right bumper becomes like, if you're running, it's a long jump.
Oh.
If you're in the air, it's the spinny thing from Mario Odyssey.
Do you a side jump?
Yeah, like the, you mean the run the other direction and jump?
Yeah,
like that's in there.
I like that song.
You have much more Mario's full acrobatic skill set. So it makes you understand why those levels being compatible, because you can move in ways.
That's kind of neat, because like, because that wasn't 2D port, it's also like you make something really new with that.
Yeah, I like playing the couple of levels in that style I've played so far, it makes you think like, oh wow, you could do some really unique things. I mean, Cat Mario alone, the first level you kind of play with him, if you're trying to like get every coin in a stage. Some of the stuff I'm doing, I'm like, this is incredible.
Kind of makes me really wish they would do a Mario Galaxy thing now. Now they opened this can of worms of doing 3D.
Yeah, games. People are still surprised that they didn't announce new ones at E3, but I was like, well, the game's not even out
yet. Yeah,
like,
it's going to be DLC.
If anyone's proved that they'll just do a significant Nintendo Direct whenever they damn well please, it's Nintendo. You know, in September, they could very well come out with a Mario Maker 2 Direct that's like, look at all this shit coming to the game next month. Like, buckle up, everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so... It's incredible. It's a shit ton of Mario for forever.
Right. So
on a system that everyone actually plays.
Yeah, I need to check it out. So you played Virtual Racer, but what about, don't you like F-Zero better? I've been practicing that
You've
for
been
you.
Waiting for that moment.
I meant to go lower for the... There it is.
I'm not finding it.
I'm not finding it.
That's baby making music right there.
Anyways, yeah, Virtual Racing.
It's just funny because it's like it's taken this long for us to finally get like an arcade perfect port of that game. So yeah, it's dumb because it's like I could literally count the number of polygons in a scene, but it's like it's 60 frames per second and 1080p. Look at it go!
It takes it back.
It does. It's just a good nostalgia trip. If you've ever had any affinity for this game, it is $8 very well spent. Because you've spent way more than that in the arcades.
Yeah, man. But you got to play with like seven other people in giant cars.
No, but remember the Fiesta Fun Center had that like super deluxe cabinet. It was only one car, but it had like the thing like you sat in the full size cockpit, and when you took the turns, like there were little air bladders like right by your kidneys that would inflate to simulate like you pushing into the seat on the turn.
I do not remember.
Oh my god, Mike, how do you forget? It was so good. It was so good.
Wow.
Man, that game is so good. It is a shame. So Digital Foundry actually did an excellent deep dive into the whole Virtua Racing series and all the different versions of it.
Right, how many games were there?
Well, so there was the Sega port, the Genesis port. Then there was the 32X version, which was built from scratch as like its own game. It had like a recreation of the three arcade tracks, but it had three more because people were hoping that the 32X tracks would be in the Switch version, but it's just a different game. They'd have to build them from scratch. Then there was the Saturn version,
which actually
was probably worse than the 32X version.
Weird.
Then they did one on PS2 that you probably don't remember.
No.
That wasn't bad, but it was, again, it was like a built from scratch as opposed to a port. This is like the arcade game.
That's interesting.
There it is, like running beautifully. And from what I understand, I haven't tried it yet, playing on the Switch, 8-player split screen, Mike.
Ooh.
8 players. The screen gets divided into 9s in a 3x3 grid, and the one space is, you know, this space and 10 shall have blank.
Jesus
Eight
Christ.
People. Oh, it's happening.
Jesus
it's happening. Christ. Next time we have a Smash night, I'm dropping my Switch, and we're playing some 5-player Virtua Racing.
All right.
And it's going to be great.
Sounds terrific.
Yeah.
Well... So what are you going to do for 4th of July, Asgard? What are your plans?
We go to my brother-in-law's because he lives right on the main road in Struthers where the parade goes
by.
Which one? David.
David, nice.
Yeah.
I always watch the 1970s historical musical, 1776.
That feels strangely ahead of its time in the 70s. That feels like something like
ahead of its time.
The age of Hamilton.
Well, you know, I mean, if you watched it, you wouldn't think it was ahead of its time. It's very much a 70s musical, but it's great. It's terrific.
Yeah,
that's I'm a big good. Fan of it.
That's good.
Because John Adams is the main character, and he's played by the guy who was the teacher from Boy Meets World. What's his name?
Oh,
we weren't big fans of that show.
No, but I know what you mean.
Miss Feeney, Mr. Feeney.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Feeney is the main character. And then, like, the other stars are Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. So it's fun. They're all palling around trying to get the Declaration of Independence approved and all that stuff. It's just terrific. All sorts of fun songs. The Show Stealer song is by it's Charles, not Charles Lee. It's one of the other names. My name is Richard Henry Lee. Virginia is my home. Yeah, it's one of the leads. One of the leads.
You know better than I.
Yeah, he sings a good song. He's the guy who proposes independence, and they have to talk him into it. And he kind of plays the part like a Dudley Do-Right character.
No, I shall save you.
Yes, pretty much. It is terrific.
We must get the Declaration ratified at once.
It's good stuff. He sings a song about the leaves of Virginia. It's good stuff.
I do like those leaves.
Well, you know that the one was the commander of the Confederate forces, you racist.
Oh, Lee. I thought you said leaves.
No, the Lees.
Oh, yeah, that guy was an asshole. He was like the bad guy in Assassin's Creed 3.
No, that's Charles Lee.
Yeah.
Which is maybe not actually related to the movie. Also, that's a Revolutionary War. That guy's different. No, I'm talking about, the Lee from, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee.
Oh, that Lee? That was Civil War.
That's what I meant. Did I say Revolution? Yeah, he's related to this guy.
Huh.
So, you know. Well, apparently, except for the whole racism thing, people liked and respected it a lot. But, you know, wrong side of history and all that.
Yes.
But great musical.
Where do you watch this? Is this like on Amazon?
Oh, something? I bought it on Amazon.
You own it. I love it.
I had to buy it.
I love it.
Because I heard this existed. I was like, I gotta see this. Now it's my 4th of July tradition.
That's good.
Not very many other movies that are specifically 4th of July movies. I mean,
Independence Day? Have you seen that yet?
No.
What the hell?
I'm too busy watching 1776.
Okay, just to reiterate, there is a human being alive in this country over the age of 20 who has not seen the movie Independence
not
Day.
Not doing anything for me.
And he is in this room with me right now. I have felt, honestly, this is my fault.
If I'm not going to watch, I'll probably watch National Treasure, nothing else.
Yeah, on the 4th of July, it's literally on all day.
For some reason, my problem was I thought it was a scary movie, and that's why I never watched it.
Will Smith punches an alien and says, "Welcome to Earth."
I thought it was a scary movie.
Then he says, "Now that's what I call a close encounter." He has two one-liners back to back.
I know. I said I had a misconception as a kid, so I never saw it. I'll see it at some point.
Brent Spiner's in it.
He is in it. I heard he did. Did you see the new one? Was that anything?
No. No, I didn't need to. No Will Smith, no sale.
Well, that's just about going to do it for me.
Yeah, me too. It's late.
Yeah, so thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us at all the podcast places. Our new episode of 90s Disney, which is all about the Aladdin for Genesis and some other games.
We're on some crossover content here.
Yeah, Aladdin for Genesis on 90s Disney. So check out the new episode of 90s Disney going up on July 1st.
Yeah, barring any unforeseen technical issues or foreseen technical issues. Whoops.
All right. No, it's terrific. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.